Hey, good morning. It is Party Line. Coming back to a little No Time to Love, or No Time to Lose. I guess there is a lot of time to love. It is 1570 WILO, 102.7 Boone. We are glad to be with you on a Thursday, and it's certainly nice to be a little cooler, that's for sure. It is going to be about 73 degrees today, and then tomorrow, looking at a high of 77. Rain chances today, about 60%, but they go down, and we're going to have a nice weekend, they're saying. Cooler, and drier. So we'll take it. That's been a little bit lacking here as of late. So joining me in studio, DNR officer Ryan McCauley. Do I get that right? I got you on now. Ryan McCauley.
Yes, sir.
Because sometimes I'm sure because my name gets mispronounced, so I want to make sure that your name gets is correct. So Ryan, tell me first of all a little bit about yourself. Are you where did you grow up? What's your background?
Yeah, so I grew up in Howard County. Went to Eastern High School. And spent
the Comets
there for 12 years and. Graduated high school, went to college for criminal justice, and was hired on with the DNR back in 2014 and assigned to Clinton County as my primary county, and I've been here ever since enjoying it.
When you say primary county, is there other communities and counties that you're a part of as well that maybe you assist or whatever the case?
Yeah, so as a conservation officer, we have state jurisdiction. Meaning we can work anywhere in the state of Indiana. However, we're each assigned to a district. My district is District 3, which encompasses 10 counties.
Wow.
Which is essentially Tippecanoe County is the middle of it and all the surrounding counties. So kind of this...
But there's more than one officer for those.
There is, okay. Yeah. So my
like
district...
You're gonna bounce in all these 10 counties. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, my district, we have, I think, 14 officers. Three of those are supervisors, and then that leaves the rest of us as field officers to patrol through those 10 counties.
Yep. So what does a field officer do? What's your primary job description?
So if you look at the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, we're a very large agency. We have, I think it's like 14 different divisions, and that encompasses anything from Division of Fish and Wildlife, which would be like your wildlife biologists, deer biologists,
right.
Stuff like that. Division of Historic Preservation, Division of Water, Division of Land Acquisition, State Parks. We've got a lot of them, and I specifically work for the law enforcement division, so we're the police officers of the DNR.
So you're the guy that's going to come out and say, do you have your fishing permit?
We do, okay. Yeah. So our primary duties lie within what I call natural resource enforcement, hunting, fishing, boating, off-road vehicles, essentially anything you can think of that deals with the outdoors or natural resources, we enforce those laws and regulations. But in addition to that, we are state law enforcement. We do go through the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy. So we do have your traditional police powers, and we enforce the traffic and criminal regulations as well as needed.
So you mentioned off-road vehicles. That certainly has changed over the year. I mean, that's become a lot more prevalent and certainly a lot more lot more variety. I mean, there's all kinds of things on in the off-road world between dirt. Used to be just a dirt bike, you know.
Yeah, now you have dirt bikes and four-wheelers, side-by-sides, all kinds of things. And you also not only see an increase in the availability and types of those, but an increase in operation of them on public roadways.
Hmm.
So that's something that we deal with. And typically when there's a off-road vehicle crash, we're the ones being called to investigate them.
Are they legal to be on the road? Can they be on the road? I mean, if they're equipped properly, I mean, I'm sure there is. I don't know.
Yeah, so yes and no to answer that. It's going to depend on the county. Each county can pass its own ordinance to allow them. If Clinton County is an open county, so you can operate on any of the county roads. But you got to be registered. Your machine has to be registered through the BMV. It's like $30, and you get a 3-year permit.
Okay.
And they give you stickers.
Have a license or stickers.
They give you stickers to put on the front end of it. But you also have to have a valid driver's license, mm-hmm. and there's some other regulations as far as wearing a helmet and stuff like that.
So a 13-year-old out there running around is probably not. And you probably deal with that a lot.
We do. Yeah. We get a lot of complaints and calls of, juveniles on roadways and stuff.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I rode dirt bikes,
sure.
and four wheelers as a kid.
You're not a killjoy.
I'm not a killjoy, but at the same time, we want it done in a safe manner. And that's one of the worst things is having to respond to an off-road vehicle crash, especially with a juvenile.
Right.
That's what we're out there to help decrease is those crashes, especially on the roadways.
Well, and they've gotten a lot more powerful. I mean, mm-hmm. The speeds are kind of crazy now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen just some flying.
Yeah,
that
they make some that get up in the 80s as far as speed. I stopped one not long ago. I haven't stopped one before, but it was a 1500 cc. engine on it, which is pretty sizable for an off-road vehicle.
Right,
so.
Absolutely. That's some horsepower there.
Yes.
Wow. That's interesting. Well, I will say this. One of the great things about Indiana that I love, I've lived in Indiana now since 1983. One of the things that I fell in love with Indiana was their state parks.
Mm-hmm.
We are just very blessed to have the kind of state parks we have because, We have very few beaches. I mean, mm-hmm. We have the dunes up there, but we don't have mountains. We don't have oceans. So we have to take advantage of our natural resources.
Absolutely.
And boy, I think we do. We love going to the state parks. Every year we take a group. We all go with as a group of church folks and friends and normally take advantage of the buy one, get one free mm-hmm. state in park. And we try to take a. We rotate and go to the different state parks, and it's just fantastic. And it's just a hidden gem.
Yes.
People don't even realize that the state inns are beautiful. They got great food, but you get the trail systems and being able to just be able to enjoy the amenities is really cool.
Absolutely. There's a lot of things available. I don't think people realize, I think it was Turkey Run.
Mm.
It ranked on like the national list of some of the best trails to go on.
Oh, yeah.
So
trail number three, baby. That's always the stuff.
You can find some challenging trails, too, if you're looking for a little bit of a workout. There's the opportunity there.
Oh, yeah. The kids always want to go on three because that's the one, you get down in the cavern. You kind of go down in the valley there. You go down and you have to climb, and there's so many steps. Well, I've learned to avoid three if all possible, but we love Clifty Falls. I mean, that's a beautiful place down there. In fact, we've been the last couple of times they've had a DNR conference going on, so we've seen a lot of your comrades mm-hmm. there meeting just trying to learn and something that's an ongoing thing for you guys. You're constantly in education mode too as
absolutely
well.
Laws change every year,
right?
July 1 new set of state rules and laws, so that is something that any law enforcement, you're going to have changes year to year, and it's our job to stay up on those and refresh on them and know what the changes are.
Deer population's been a big topic over the last probably decade or mm-hmm. so or longer. I mean, where we stand on the law, is that still kind of open? And I know that you can't bait deer mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff, but
there's regulations as far as hunting.
There's regulations as far as hunting, but where are we at on the deer population? I know that is something that, because I hear people say, there is a lot of deer. My wife hits a lot of deer in her car. We kill a lot of deer, but we don't shoot them.
I hear both sides of it. I hear some people say that they see dead deer everywhere and it's on the decline. And I hear, like you're saying, people say they've seen more deer than ever.
Yeah.
From what I understand from our deer biologists, we're remaining pretty steady as far as where we're at. We've not had any like major changes as far as what our bag limits are for deer, anything like that.
What about other, and I know this is, I don't want to get into the biology type, questioning, because I know you're more in law enforcement, but certainly you see this. Has there been any unusual species or anything or any unusual change in mm-hmm. what the species we have in here in Indiana? And is there any new endangered species that maybe have been that we don't know about.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with any new endangered species.
Uh-huh.
I would say what limited I can speak on, the biggest hot topic has been the bobcats.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen a steady increase in their population to the point that Indiana will have a trapping season for them this upcoming
really?
Year. So,
okay. Now, and you'll have to enforce that.
We will.
Okay.
Yep. And so for the start of it, what I understand is it's going to be southern Indiana, and mm-hmm. there's going to be a quota. And as soon as that quota is met, that season will shut down. And we saw the same things with river otters.
Right.
You know, we didn't have a river otter season when I came on. And then through the studies and data, we saw quite the increase in the population. And we started a kind of a select area to start a river otter season. And it's just kind of expanded from there.
Yeah, I've seen more of them. Those little boogers, they kind of waddle across the road every once in a while, but they're normally near the creek, you know,
yeah.
they're normally near water. Officer Ryan, what is the thing that gets you up in the morning? I mean, what made you want to get involved in this? I know because you had an opportunity as a law enforcement agent, you could be, you know, doing anything, but mm-hmm. what makes you tick? What makes you enjoy the conservation side?
So I was blessed. I had the opportunity to grow up kind of in the outdoors. So
yeah.
I spent a lot of time hunting and fishing mm-hmm. and just being outdoors. That was a passion of mine. So initially when I started college, I thought I wanted to be a wildlife biologist.
Okay.
But I also always had in the back of my mind, like, I love helping people. And I know that sounds like a standard answer, but I really do enjoy helping people. And so that option for law enforcement was always in the back of my mind. And so I switched to the criminal justice degree and had the opportunity to work as a reserve deputy for Wabash County. And I loved every minute of it. And so to pair my passion of the outdoors and take my longing to be an officer, it just made sense. And don't get me wrong, I think I would have loved being a deputy as well, but this was kind of like my optimal. If
right.
I could pick anywhere, this is where I want to go. And so I applied back in 2014 and was given the opportunity, and I haven't looked back. So.
Awesome. And you've stayed pretty much in this area.
I have. Yep. So like I was saying earlier, each officer gets assigned a primary county that we have to live in and take the day-to-day calls.
Speaking of taking the day-to-day calls, I think we have somebody on the line here. Let me check and see here. Hey, oh, there we go. Good morning. You're on.
Good
you're on
morning, podcast. Everybody.
Hey, Carl.
I want to know why.
I can hear you better.
I want to know why. I'm 75 years old. 60 years ago, you didn't have a deer in Clinton County. 60 years ago, you didn't have EOEDs flying everywhere. What was the purpose? What was the purpose of having deer and geese brought into the state of Indiana? Can you tell me that?
What the exact purpose was, you know, I don't know what the biologists were looking at that point in time, but you are right. Back in the 60s, there were deer that were purchased from other states and moved around the state. And just through different conservation efforts, our deer population has really evolved into what it is today. They're very plentiful.
And the geese.
The geese are too, yes. There's a...
I don't understand that. Back in the 60s, in 62, 63, we used to swim in Batady Creek. It was 6 and 9 foot deep. Out in the country. Why don't they do something about that, the conservation
officers? Carl, I don't know what's going on with your phone lately, but you're breaking up again. So let me ask you, I think you said that back in 62 you were swimming in Potato Creek about 6 to 9 feet deep, but that we lost you after that.
Yeah, 6 9 foot deep. Why don't they something about the creeks out in the country where they're 2 feet deep, and they used to be 6 and 9 foot deep, but they're full of soil now.
Yeah, they do fill in, and that would definitely be something, probably our Division of Water might look at.
Division of Water, yeah.
I do know we have areas like Tippecanoe River up by Lake Schaefer. Kind of the same thing. It fills in, and they run a dredge. That's a pretty big
recreation area. Erosion.
You do get sediment and stuff that fills in and kind of...
What were we getting back in the 60s?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what all the contributing factors are, but obviously there's a lot of erosion of soil and stuff. I don't know if that contributes to it, but...
Well, they plow right up the creeks, and then all that dirt fills them in.
Well, I mean, hey, that could very well be one of the reasons. I don't know, Carl, but I tell you, Ryan is more on the law enforcement side of it. But I'll do some investigating. I'll see more about that. I'll talk to some folks because I do agree. I mean, I look at Kilmore Creek. I know that one time it was deeper. I look at Prairie Creek used to be deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Hey, God bless. Have a wonderful day.
Hey, you
Thank
too.
You,
Thanks,
you too.
Carl. Appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure talking with Carl. But, you know, he brings up a good point in the sense, I know that's not in your purview, but, of course, it might make things crazier if we did have creeks that were deeper like that, because now we got people swimming and kayaking and canoeing, and now you get more danger.
Yeah, there's always that potential, but, I don't know what the good answer for getting those set back would be.
Right. Technology. You're a young man. You've seen technology in the last few years change. How is that technology being applied into your world every day?
As far as our job goes, we get new tools. So something we didn't have when I came on were body cams, which you see pretty much all law enforcement agencies are moving to body cams, different computer technology that gives us either different tools or allows us to do things more efficiently, even up to the point of some of our licensing is changing, whether you're able to use your smartphone to buy your license online and show us a picture on your phone instead of carrying a paper copy, or even they're printing plastic cards now with a QR code that we can check your license from that.
That is wild.
There's some different things that are making things more streamlined or more efficient, which has been nice.
You guys use drones?
We do use drones. So I'm actually the UAV pilot for my district and had the opportunity to utilize that in several scenarios.
That in itself has just gone off the charts. It has changed drastically.
Absolutely.
The little fiberglass thing that flutters in the air has now become... like an aircraft.
It has. And realistically, I mean, they are aircraft. Yeah. Ours are registered with the FAA.
Yeah.
They're game changers. Whether we're looking for something or for somebody, you know, what may have taken hours with boots on the ground is taken mere minutes when you can put a UAV up.
Are you guys called in, like if there's a missing person or maybe there is a... maybe there's some drugs that are basically marijuana maybe that's being grown or whatever. Do you guys get called on to kind of look at those kind of things?
We get called for a wide variety of things. Yeah. I mean, you name it, I've worked it in my short 10 years or 11 years now. But definitely the search and rescue, we get called out a lot for that. We have a lot of specialized equipment, whether they're ATVs or boats. Our canine units are nation known for human tracking. And then our UAVs. I mean, there's such a wide area of tools and resources that we have available that, we get utilized on a lot of those types of calls.
What's been the biggest, what do you think is the biggest challenge your world, your department is facing in the near future? What are some of the things that you see? This is something we've got to be able to figure it out.
I think one of the challenges, and it's something that a lot of agencies are seeing, is hiring, trying to get
workforce,
good qualified candidates that want to work in law enforcement. Obviously, I think in more recent years, law enforcement was kind of painted in not so good images.
Yeah.
And people realize some of the things that the job entails, and it may not make it as desirable to as many people to apply. So.
Well, social media has certainly been a big factor in that, and especially what drives me crazy a little bit. I mean, some people get online and they almost it's almost antagonistic. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, we're going to make you try to do something, or what. You're a DNR officer, or, you know, you're an Indiana conservation officer. What authority? I mean, you know, people, which drive me crazy. I mean, just do your, stay in your lane, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
People don't like to stay in their lane.
Yeah. That would be the easy thing. That doesn't work like that, unfortunately.
It doesn't. Well, I tell you, I want to talk a little bit about the rest of the show. Your wife, wow. How are you not like 300 pounds, Ryan? I mean, I'm looking, for those who may not be looking at the broadcast online, Ryan's a very fit young man, and yet his wife makes peach cobbler sourdough cinnamon rolls.
She does. She's got her little own little baking business.
Let's see if I can get that. Maybe that one would be a better shot. But it's these are beautifully packaged.
She's very talented, so I have to use some limitations when she's baking.
Restraints?
So, yes.
Yep. So this is peach cobbler sourdough, and she makes this on a regular basis, and you guys are out of Forest, so do you sell it from your home? Or
she does, yeah. Okay. So she has a farm stand that we made that she puts things out on. It's usually every other Saturday. And then she does farmers markets, and
you crack me up because you know that you're in law enforcement. You got all the legal stuff on here.
You
have everything just the way it's supposed to be.
Well, I can't necessarily claim credit for that. She is very up to date on what the cottage food laws are, and she sticks to those very strictly and follows them to a T. So
I mean, you got a little bread flour, some whole milk, butter, brown sugar. Sourdough is good for you, by the
it
way.
It is.
Sourdough.
It's gut healthy.
It's gut healthy. You've got fresh peaches, a little sugar, some eggs, cinnamon, lemon juice. Oh, my. This is making my mouth water.
They're dangerous.
Now, they are dangerous. So, and I made it off the, air remark that if we put a little Glover's ice cream on this and really heat this up, my goodness. So does she sell other products as well?
She does. She makes all kinds of loaves of bread, whether it's jalapeno cheddar to regular sandwich loaves. She makes cookies, scones. She's got quite a list.
Does she take special orders?
She does, okay. Yeah. I would say, if anyone's interested, she does have a Facebook page,
okay.
And they can just shoot her a
message
on there.
This is Sweet and Sour. Is that the name?
Yep.
Sweet and Sourdough?
Yes, yeah.
So Sweet and Sourdough, you can go to that on Facebook, Sweet and Sourdough, and this is the Peach Cobbler Sourdough Cinnamon Roll. I mean, I'm telling you, these look amazing, and every bit as far as what the looks of a Cinnabon. I mean, everybody goes crazy over Cinnabons, but wow, that's amazing. So, and she'll take special orders.
She does,
as
absolutely.
Well. All right, so go to her Facebook page. And check her out if you want. I'm now you've got me mouth watering over some jalapeno bread because I love jalapeno and cheddar. That would be some awesome bread. I don't know how you do it. My wife does not bake, so
yeah.
I'm in good shape there.
Yeah.
So I'm in good shape. But I find it somehow. I find it. I'll find people like your wife, and I'll buy it. I'll get it. I'll eat it. The little Kirkland Bakery, Tim there, they do a great job too. They do a lot of sourdough.
Okay.
Their English muffins, they're really good. So,
very good.
Okay, so in closing today, what would you want people to know? Folks that are out and just enjoying the outdoors, maybe they're going to the state park because, you know, we were at Clifty Falls last year. We just leave Clifty Falls and there was a shooting like the day after we leave. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you want people to enjoy and have a great time and have fun and make it a memorable experience. But mm-hmm. You know what? Just don't be stupid. And what's the message that you want to send to people from your perspective of how they can really enjoy without getting into all the craziness.
Yeah, just know that all of our state properties, there's regulations on those. And like you said earlier.
Even on the water.
Even on the water, absolutely. Yeah. And that's one thing this summer. We've kind of had a rash of boat crashes here lately.
Is it alcohol related?
We have some that are currently under investigation. So, you know, there's always that potential. And realistically, that is one of our number one boating violations we see is boating while intoxicated.
Okay. People just kind of think they can get in the water and there's no laws out there. But you shouldn't be drinking and driving a boat.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Or captaining a boat, I guess. I don't know what that was the or steering a boat, whatever the case may be. But, you know, it's a scenario where you really have to understand there's boundaries everywhere.
There is.
But we always have to want to take human nature, take a step over the boundary.
Overstep it and do our own thing. But, as with anything, we have regulations. And, you know, the vast majority of those are to keep people safe, make things more enjoyable for the public.
For everybody.
Absolutely. So, you know, be aware, be up to date on what the regulations are. If you're going camping, there's regulations in the campgrounds. If you're out, like you said, on the water, if you're out on the roadways, whatever it may be.
I do have a question. I mean, I'm headed for a wedding up in Michigan. There's a lake nearby. I'm thinking about taking my fishing pole. I would probably need to get a fishing license in Michigan. I mean, my Indiana won't work.
Correct.
So
each state has their own state fishing license,
rules and regulations.
Exactly,
so,
it can vary state to state.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna. I probably won't even take it now because I really won't have a whole lot of time. But I'm thinking I'm going to be close to the lake. So, maybe I'll just take a walk and watch some folks. But because knowing me, I'll get up there, and sure enough, there would have it. I wouldn't be able to officiate the wedding because I'm in the slammer. So, all right. Well, Ryan, you've been a great guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, no, appreciate you being here. You're a great young man. You got kind eyes. I always see people, their eyes. You got kind eyes. You're one of those guys.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate people that want to help people. And you got that servant's heart. We greatly appreciate it. And we're going to make sure that we dive into your wife's wonderful peach cobbler. And we're going to get some for ourselves, that's for sure. All right, Ryan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And good Lord willing, we'll be back with you, let's see, next Tuesday. Until then, have a great weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. Stay safe.